Thank you. Some questions. When you are in the desert period in your spiritual life, how do you get out of it? If you mean by the desert period, the state of lukewarm, that you cannot feel your prayer, or you do not feel the hotness of the spiritual life, you need just to push. Because, you know, sometimes one is not hot nor cold. And it was written in Revelation chapter 3 that there was a bishop, and the Lord said to St. John to tell him that this state of not hot, not cold is not good. So you need to push. I mean by pushing that you need to struggle in prayer, to struggle in Bible reading, to overcome this state of tasteless spiritual life. When you pray hard, when you try to read the Bible, when you cry out for help, you will get out of this desert period and you will start feeling again the beauty of the spiritual life. If we are stuck in one of the stages, he means the stages of the of St. Peter when he was growing in the Spirit, and cannot move forward, how can we learn to let go? It needs first of all to evaluate yourself, where you stand, what do you feel? Do you feel like really love God from all your heart? Do you really follow Him in whatever He commands? Or you just think of the world and you are busy with your life and God is just superficial or having very little of your mind? So first of all, examine yourself. Ask yourself, where do you stand in your spiritual life? After which you can know what to do. And you go deeper in the sea, as happened with St. Peter, needs to have a quiet time with the Lord and to stay away from people for some time and to pray more and more so you will be filled with the Spirit. Another question. St. Peter started by listening to Christ, but he really was not enthusiastic yet. So did St. Peter's relationship with Christ begin after Christ's words touched him, or after St. Peter became willing? It was not written in the Bible exactly, but I guess with the words of the Lord, he became like, a good land to be fertilized, to be planted upon. So he was ready to get deeper in his relationship after listening to the Word of God. You know, the Word of God helps our heart to accept the grace of God. The Lord said that His Word is kind of spirit and life. So by working on the Word of the Lord, we can go deeper in our relationship, and you can pray better, you can feel the love of God more and more, and you can be transformed into a better one. So I guess after Christ's word touched him. Why is God leaving all the earth to convert to Islam? Within years, all the earth will be turned to Islam. Why you say so? Have you read the numbers? Yeah, I read the numbers. Actually, Christianity nowadays is like 33% of the whole population of the whole earth. Islam is like 21 or 22. Yes, it's increasing. The atheism like something like 20%, and other religions and cults covering the rest. Yes, Islam is growing up, but you know, this is related to the will of man, not the plan of God. As Christ said, that there will be false prophets and many will follow them. So this was the prophecy of the Lord Himself. But you know, people, as said in St. John Gospel, people love darkness. They do not love the light. They love darkness more than the light, because their deeds are bad. So those who like to live in bad life, they choose the darkness, not the light. But still, you know, God is the Pantocrator, the Almighty. He controls everything, and He will never let all the world be, you know, in darkness. He controls this. And you know, it happened many times all through the history that darkness prevailed everywhere, and after some time the light shined again. So if you study the history, you will see the pagans, like the Empire of Babylon and the Empire of Greek and the Empire of Romans, and they were fighting strongly against Christianity. And many years later, they fade away and Christianity shined again. So don't worry about this. Don't say that it will take all the world, because this is not the plan of God. But let's put it this way, God allowed this for the purification of His people and to examine the faith of His people, so the people, His people, will shine in a deviated world, in a darkness, in a dark world. How can we exercise ourselves to actually achieve a closer relationship with God? How do we come to love meeting with God every day? Let me ask you this question. Can we put the light on so we can please share in this question? I love you when you share. You know, most of us have some problem with our will. We do not have enough will. We desire to be good, we desire to pray more, we desire to stay away from sin, but in most of the cases we fail because our will is not strong enough. Let's put the question another way. How can one motivate himself to strengthen his will? Please answer my question. How can one motivate his will? Because you know, with a strong will you can do many things. You can change yourself with the grace of God. So we all have this problem, I think, with weak will. Yalla ba, shaggauni, just encourage me. Thank you.
I think by just starting with the small things. So if you be strict in the very small things and you're faithful in the small things, then you'll learn to be more faithful in the bigger things.
Very good one. Yes, by starting small things, when you do little by little, usually you feel happy growing up, so this will motivate yourself. What else? What kind of self spiritual motivation? Yes.
Surround yourself with people who have the same motivations.
What?
Surround yourself with people who have
yes,
the same intentions.
Yes, very good, very good. Surround yourself with positives, with people who are really interested in spiritual life.
Through fasting.
Fasting.
Controlling your stomach.
Yes, fasting is one will motivate our will, but we need some will to fast. So, still there is some problem. What else? Any more comment? How can one increase the strength of his will? Do you have any more?
Ask God to help you.
Yeah, it's a simple one and very, very good answer. Just admit that you have a problem with your will and keep crying out, please God, help me to be strong in my will. Help me to promise and then fulfill my promise.
Have small goals, so then when you
achieve it, you feel like you've succeeded.
Yes,
and you've more
kind of...
Which is kind of what he said, but a bit more specific. Yeah.
Having small goals may help you to grow little by little. Yes, Mirai? Huh?
Remembering,
I think some of you will lose weight by this.
Remembering God's goodness in your life from previous experience.
Again, excuse me.
Remembering God's will, like God's goodness in your life.
When you remind yourself by God's will, when you recall God's will, our sanctification, God will that we are like Him. So when you remind yourself by this, maybe this will increase the strength of your will. Yes?
Trusting in Rabbeinu, trusting in Him to guide you through.
I think we trust God, but we do not have enough will. But you can put it this way, just trust in Him that He will strengthen your will. Okay. I'll give you three... go ahead, I didn't see you. Go ahead.
I was just going to say maybe past positive experiences, personal experiences.
Yeah, very good point. When you remember some positive experiences, that you had a good time one day with God, you were better than this, you were praying strongly, you were enjoying the Bible sitting, you were serving from your heart, you could overcome some of the sins. So by this good history, you can overcome the weakness and be strong again. You know, in the books of the forefathers, they put three major motives in the spiritual life. The first one is fear of God. When you fear God, you will be, you know, strengthened in the will. When you remind yourself with the day of judgment, when you fear staying away from Him. So the fear of God is kind of motivation of the will. The second line is the hope. When you hope in eternity, when you hope in the crown in the kingdom of heaven, when you hope you enjoy the company of the saints, when you hope to see Christ by your eyes, this kind of hope will motivate you, will help to strengthen your will. Like one who is studying and he is, you know, kind of having bored time and he's not happy with studying, but when he remembers that he will succeed and he will start his career and he will be so and so, this kind of hope help him to go on studying. The third line of motivation is the love of God. And they all said that the love of God is the strongest motive in spiritual life. Somebody is struggling because they fear God, others struggle because they hope in eternity, but the best are struggling because they love Him. So when you feel loving God, you are happy to do His will. You are very much interested in doing His commandment. So the three, fear, hope, love, are motivating yourself to be strong-willed. Go ahead. It's a good question. Do you have any answer for this? How can one balance the fear of God and love God? Can they go together? Can one feel both feelings? Yes, go ahead. There's some... Yes, here.
I think it's like a relationship with your father. I think it's a respect thing. You're afraid to upset him or to...
Yeah.
So
some kind of love have some part of fear. Because when you love someone, you are afraid of letting him go away or bother him in a way. So there's some relationship between the fear of God and loving God. And the fear is kind of respect. And it's not, you know, the bad feeling of fear. There is kind of heavy bad feeling, but this is not the fear of God. The fear of God is full of joy. The fear of God is full of wisdom, as written in the Bible. So I love God, but I'm afraid of living my life away from Him. I'm afraid of losing Him. So it's again related to the word loving God. And you know, most of you love your parents, and there is kind of little fear or respect or honor your parent, so they can go together. Okay, let me give you another song, because Abuna encouraged me that the Egyptian ones are not that bad. So I'll tell you another one. I'll sing another one also from the days of the revolution, because we're still in the problems. Where they are, okay. Again, these words were written after the prayer of Daniel, the prophet, because he was crying out for help for his people to be saved from the being captured. Oh Lord, listen. Oh Lord, forgive me. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The second lecture will be getting full, or will never thirst. The words of Christ on the filling with the Spirit was expressing this kind of satisfaction, or being full, or his words, you will never thirst. You know, I want to tell you one thing before I start. There are three main examples of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. The first one is the living water. So while drinking any water, please try to remind yourself that we need some other kind of water. We need to be filled with the Spirit. Not only this water which helps our physical body for this life, but we need the other kind of water for our eternal life. So at exactly this water is very essential for our physical life. The living water, or the Holy Spirit, is very essential for the spiritual life or the eternal life. The second common example of the Holy Spirit is the fire. Remember that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit dwelt on the apostles in the shape of tongues of fire on the heads of each of them. So the second meaning, when you see any fire, remind yourself that the Holy Spirit inside your heart is a kind of fire, and it needs always to be kindled. The third common example or sample of the Holy Spirit is the oil. That's why we call it the anointment or the myron. So the oil, which you can find in many stories or parables in the Bible, like the one of the 10 girls, wise virgins, you can see this meaning of the oil simplify the idea of the Holy Spirit. So in this lecture, we'll speak about the water, the living water, to simplify the idea of the Holy Spirit. First of all, it was written in Jeremiah, in the Old Testament, "They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cistern, broken cistern that can hold no water. People went to make their life away from God as if they are trying to get water and they never find it. But you know, it's easy to catch the real water, the living water of God, but people are getting this water from elsewhere. So this was written even in the Old Testament. The meaning of the living water comes out of God, which is the Holy Spirit. In order to reach this fullness, in order to be filled with the Spirit, first of all, you need to feel the need. You know, when I feel thirsty, I used to drink water. You need to feel this kind of thirsty, spiritual thirst. And this is our major problem, that we are angry, we are bored, we are frustrated, we are depressed, we are insecure, we are not happy, we are doubting things, we are in bad shape, but we never think that this all related to the thirsty, to the thirst of the living water. We just try here and there to overcome these negative feelings, but simply it's kind of being thirst. So if you feel the need, if you know your need, you just go and drink from the living water. And that's exactly what the Lord was saying to the Samaritan woman. When they were speaking on the well about the kind of water, and he told her, if you know whom you are talking to, you will ask him to give you the living water. She saw that he is talking about the same kind of water. He told her, no, anyone takes from this common water will be thirsty again, but the one I'm giving you will never be thirsty, but he will be satisfied, and moreover, he can give the water to others. I do not, you know, recall the verse in English, so I think you know the meaning. So the main problem starts by, do you feel the need? Do you feel like not happy because you are not spiritually satisfied? You are not near enough to God. That's why you are not happy in this life. You feel many negative thoughts coming to your mind. You feel insecure. You do not feel satisfied simply because you are not fed enough. You did not drink enough. So the first thing is you admit that there is need. You admit the need, and then these are the points I'm going to go after this one by one. And then you receive the water, and then you maintain this kind of relationship and comes to satisfaction. And the last point will be the overflow. This like seven steps in drinking the living water, or the same meaning of filled by the Spirit. First of all, let's feel the need. In the passages written in your pamphlets, you will find these words of Isaiah. He was talking about this feeling thirst. He said, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend money for what's not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what's good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. So he was speaking about the living water, the Holy Spirit, the spiritual life. You can buy it without money. You can take the water with no price, but just ask, come in need and cry out in your need. Again, you know, remember the prodigal son when he examined himself once. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. So the minute he felt that he is really hungry and he is in severe need to water and food, he started to repent, he started his way back, and he became satisfied after. So we need to touch this point, that do you really feel the need or you don't? Because we will never be satisfied unless we feel the need. I'm not going to drink any water if I'm not thirsty. I'm not going to eat if I'm not hungry. When you come to prayer, do you feel like needing God? You need His forgiveness, you need His love, you need His security, or you don't think you need any. So your prayer will be dull and boring. Again, also in Luke chapter 19, Zacchaeus was the man who was in severe need and he felt the need. He went to see Jesus. You know, there are many points that hinders your feeling for the need. We all need the living water. But sometimes you do not feel the need because you are very busy. You are over-occupied. You are occupied by many things. So you do not feel even that you need this. You know, St. Paul once was preaching to somebody who put him in the prison. But as usual, St. Paul was always preaching the word of God and never defended himself as a criminal. But you know, this man, as you can see in the book of Acts chapter 24, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." And this time never came. Many people are thinking this way. When I have time, I will read the Bible. When I have time, I'll think of changing. When I have time, I will go serving. When I have time, I will focus. But I'm not free. I do not have time. But you know, actually, you are losing your life by saying you are busy and you are ignoring the real need, the original need of the Holy Spirit. The second point is you have to admit your need. Because sometimes you feel needy, but you know, you deny. You don't want to admit. Because we need to say, "I am thirsty." St. Paul said once, "I feel that there is nothing good in myself." It was in Romans 7. We need to admit the need in front of our own self. And then we need to admit this need in front of God in prayer. And the last step, we need to admit this in front of our priest, presenting the church. And these are the idea, the pillars of confession. In confession, I'm not just saying I'm a bad person. Okay, we all know this. But in confession, actually, I'm saying I need forgiveness. I need power for change. I need to be pure. I need different eye. I need different mind. I need larger heart. So by admitting your need in front of your conscience and in front of God in prayer and lastly in confession, now you are going in the right way. Again, there are many points that may hinder your admitting. First of all, the ego. People may feel down, may feel insecure, may feel unhappy, but they do not want to admit that they are spiritually in need because of their ego. They are, you know, they believe in themselves as good people. So they, you know, resist this feeling and they keep saying, I'm fine, I'm fine. No, you are not fine. I'm happy. No, you are not happy. And also somebody may fear the confrontation. Sometimes one cannot confront himself with the truth. I am not a man of God. I am bad. I am living my life away from God. I am doing very bad things. So we need sometimes this kind of confrontation. The third point we need to ask for. Just go to God and tell Him, give me your living water. Exactly as done by the Samaritan woman. You know, after the Lord told her about the nature of this living water, she simply asked Him, give me this water. When she said so, He just mentioned her husband, go and bring your husband, as if He was pushing her to confess, to repent, to reveal the secrets, to open the dark rooms. So she said simply, I don't have a husband. He helped her saying, yes, you are saying the truth. The man with you now is not your husband, but you had 5 husbands before. You know, he was helping her to open up, to open the dark rooms in order to get cured. So by doing this, she will take the living water. By repentance, she can enjoy the pure, better life. So we need to ask for this. The Lord promised, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. And you know, these words are not applying to all kinds of prayer. Actually, it applies mainly on the spiritual prayer. Sometimes you may say that I asked God to give me some money, but He did not. Yes, because this was not the promise. When He promised this, He meant to give you His Spirit, the most precious thing He can give. So when He promised you to seek and you will find, He meant that you will find Himself. When you knock, He will open by Himself, by His Spirit. Remember, the 2 blind men were sitting in His way to Jericho, and they kept crying out for their blindness. They, you know, kept saying, have mercy upon us, O Lord, Son of David. People tried to stop them. People tried to shut them off, but they kept crying out. And by this crying out, they got their eyes opened. It's exactly at our case. If you want the living water, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, just keep crying out. The main way to be filled with the Spirit is prayer, is continuous prayer. Pray without ceasing. This is the commandment of the Lord. So, in order to pray unceasingly, you need to feel the need, you need to admit the need, and then you will cry out for this. Again, some points may hinder this kind of crying out, that you are impatient, you don't have patience. You just pray 5 minutes, and then you say, oh, come on, God is not listening. Just wait. Keep pushing, keep crying, because He is listening, but you know, this kind of continuous prayer is changing your heart. It's kind of raining coming from above on your heart. There is kind of dynamic change happening while praying. So don't stop it. Just keep on. Go on praying, because you are now in the state of changing. You are now in the state of filling with the Spirit. So when you shut it very early, actually you stop the mechanism, you stop the act. As promised by the Lord, by your patience possess your souls. So we need some patience in prayer. We need some consistency in prayer. We need to struggle to stay more in prayer. By doing this, we are getting more living water. Another point, you may not believe enough. You may not believe or trust the Word of God. You may doubt this promise. You may think that these promises are not for you. Actually, it's for all. Just go on and try it. The fourth point, you know, God is always ready to give His Spirit, and He is happy giving His Holy Spirit. But sometimes, as if God is giving His Holy Spirit, but there is no hand to receive, no heart to receive. So you admit you are thirsty, and you cry out for water, but when He is giving you the water, you don't come with anything to take the water in. You are not there receiving the gift. It was written in Isaiah, "Why do you spend money for what's not bread, your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, eat what's good, let your soul delight itself in abundance." So these are kinds of receiving the gift. That you hear the voice of God, the verses of the Bible, consider these verses for you, this part of the gift. But when you just read them and do not consider them, these verses for you personally, you gain nothing. Sometimes the promises are very strong, but we do not believe in them. The promise of forgiveness, it's yours, but you still feel guilty. Why you feel guilty? Although God forgave you, as if you did not receive the gift. He told us that anyone comes in repentance, he will be forgiven, and never ever his sin will be mentioned again. This is the promise in Isaiah 43. But sorry, it was not written in English. But you know, you may doubt this. You may, after confession, think, is it really forgiven? I still feel guilty. Yet this is your problem, as if you did not receive the gift. Again, because of the mind, those who are intellectually high, their mind are always in a state of doubts and thinking, you know, they cannot accept the gift of God. The gift of God needs a heart of a child, a mind of a child, an easygoing person. Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear," although actually God at this time did not punish him with anything. But because of this guilt feeling, he did not even want to receive the gift of forgiveness. Sometimes you ask and never be given because you are asking the wrong way, wrong request. You are just seeking some success in this life. God is happy giving you this success, but there is something more important you do not focus on. The fifth step, when you admit there is a problem, you feel the need, and you cry out for this living water, and you are ready to receive the gift, you are believing in God's promises, we need to maintain this kind of relationship. We need to maintain this raining coming from above, this kind of dynamic purification by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, I think we all experienced it. You spend some good time in a conference or in a prayer, and you feel better. But after a few days, as if nothing happened, you did not maintain it. It was like just once. Why don't you keep it up? Why don't you maintain this kind of regular relationship in order to make the calming water on a regular basis? That's exactly what we pray regularly early in the morning in the psalm, the first psalm. Like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Being a tree planted on the water, so there is always regular satisfaction with the water. Also, many points may hinder this step of maintaining the relationship, that kind of speedy satisfaction, that you feel satisfied rapidly, that you believe in yourself that now I'm fine, now I'm a spiritual man. Just wait. No, it's a longer way than this. So this kind of false or fake feeling of satisfaction with the Spirit may stand against your growth. You need to do more and more. It happened once that Elisha was in his last day, Elisha, the prophet, and the king came to him to take his blessing in his last days. And in a symbolic way, the prophet told the king to keep the arrow and start throwing the arrows, but he stopped without asking him because he felt that he is doing nothing. So the prophet shouted at him and told him, "Why you stopped? I told you just go on. You shouldn't stop unless I ask you." So this kind of do not stop. Now you know Jesus' prayer, why you stopped it. Now you know the power of the Word of God, why you stop it? Now you know how much change happened to you when you start serving, why you stop it? Just keep on, maintain the relationship. Also, to maintain this relation, we need to set the priorities. We need to put our program, spiritual program, at the first priority. We need to set the prayer before being busy with any act, in anything to do in our day. The sixth step, that we will be satisfied. If we admit the need, if we cry out for the living water, if we open our hands to take the gift for our hearts, and if we are busy maintaining the relationship, now we are satisfied. Now we are happy drinking the living water because we are praying regularly, we are reading the Bible deeply, we are in the church, we are enjoying our love to God. So in this case, now we are better. And this is the word of our conference: do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, St. Paul was a man always filled with the Spirit. That's why in Philippians chapter 4, and by the way, it's another passage to be memorized, he said that, "Indeed, I have all and abound," although he was in the prison, and he was very poor at that time. And he was old and sick, but though he felt satisfied. "I'm full, having received from this one, Epaphroditus, the thing sent from you, sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice." So he is very happy with whatever comes to him. Just some gift came to him in the prison, he was happy because he is full with the Spirit. He is always satisfied with God, whether in a prison or in a boat or in anywhere. He is just happy with God. Again, another problem with the satisfaction, that we are lazy. So we are not taking these steps to the end. So we are just moving one step and then we sit down. So we need to struggle for this. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak stands for the problem of laziness. So do not be lazy, because you know if you are hot in your relationship with God, the spirit always willing. The last step, the overflow. Because you know, according to the words given by the Lord to the Samaritan, this living water will not only satisfy the need, but also will overflow to cover needs of others. And this is exactly the picture of a spiritual one. Any spiritual man, he is not only happy with God, but he can make others happy. He can change others' life. Not only his life was really transformed, but he had the power to transform others' life. This is the exact picture of a spiritual man. So be filled with the Spirit, not only to live your life abundantly, but also to be the key of changing people around you. You know, in chapter 7 of St. John's Gospel, on the last day, the great day of the feast, this feast of the Jew was called El Mazal. You know, they were making some shelters away from their homes to remind themselves of the days of Sinai when they spent 40 years without shelter, as if saying that God is our shelter. So this day, this feast was one of the three biggest feasts for the Jew. And you know, they spent the full week in this shelter, and on the eighth day, this is the greatest day of the week, the high priest of the Jew, tend to do some ritual, taking some water from the lake of Siloam, if you remember this name, and they go in a, you know, in a rally or a demonstration, people following him happily, shouting some psalms, and then he pour all the water on the altar. On this day, Christ stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." The exact meaning given to the Samaritan. And you know, St. John revealed the secret of this living water by saying, he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom who believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Glorified means the redemption, being crucified and resurrected and ascended to the heaven. You know, this kind of glorification, which you know, followed by the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord proclaimed this clearly, that when you come to him, he will give you his utmost gift, ultimate gift, his precious Spirit. And this Holy Spirit will overflow in your heart, you know, rivers of living water. So people like St. Paul, kind of a man who were not only satisfied with the Spirit, but he covered Europe with rivers of living water. St. Peter covered many areas with living water. You yourself, being a good servant, if you be filled with the Spirit, you will not be only satisfied and happy, but also you will cover many people and many areas with the rivers of the living water. Again, with this kind of overflow, sometimes, you know, some wrong beliefs or false doctrines may stand against this. When somebody focus on his spiritual life and ignore others' spiritual life, no, this is kind of selfishness. No, if you care for your salvation, you should care for others' salvation. If you feel the beauty of the spiritual life, you are happy to give this taste to others. So, you know, as written by God, it's better to give, not to take. And also sometimes distraction. You are not focusing on the filling by the Spirit and the overflowing with the Spirit. This is the life of a spiritual man. Glory to God. Amen. Some questions. There is a good question. How can I hear Jesus among the internet, iPod, iPad, chatting, Facebook, etc.? Yes, it's a good question. And you please share in the answer. Did you find any solution to this major problem in our life? The problem of the media, the problem of the technology, and the distraction happening with these all IT problems. Yes, please advise. I need your advices. This is not applicable. And turn it off, okay? Abuna, please.
Well, Sabuna, I think technology is a fantastic thing.
Yeah.
And to close the door on technology, then will bring us back 50, 60 years.
Definitely.
So, every one of us has a bit of technology today. It is like oxygen. We cannot live without it. So, by giving, for example, an iPad or an iPod to a child, to a youth, you have to obviously know that there are limitations on things that you could go into, things that are going to be beneficial to you. But obviously there are things that can also benefit the lusts and the desires of the body, unfortunately. So I ask you a question, Abuna. I ask, let's ask a question. How can we honestly, while we're by ourselves, have this, Annie, say no?
Yeah.
To going into a site that will affect me and destroy my spiritual relationship with Christ. How can I have that strength? I wonder if we need three steps, Father. Sorry.
I remember one young man was confessing to me with pornography, and he was really feeling bad having this bad habit, and he could overcome the problem when he put the icon of the cross above the computer. And when it comes to any minute that he go to this bad site, he just, when he look upon the cross, he cannot continue. And sometimes he was crying because there was a great conflict between the bad desire and the goodwill inside his heart to plead the crucified God. But it helped him. So this is kind of, you know, he used the tool of the icon just to help him to remind how much God paid in him to save him out of this bad things. I need their advices, Abuna. Abuna put the question in a better way when he said, how can one say to himself no at a minute? Right? Any advice? There is no way. Go ahead.
Maybe time limits, to have a time limit, and maybe that will help you to restrict and do what you have to do. And then
for somebody, this, you know, a good advice, it applies to some people when they stick to a certain time and they do their job, whatever, on the iPad or the iPod or whatever, for a certain time, and then they quit, not to let themselves to go with unlimited time, and this will help them to do bad things. Yes? Any more advice? Hear this.
Just in relation to the time limits and things like that, being from an educational background and just witnessing what happens with children, that can be really hard when you give. Technology is fantastic when used in the right way, but it can become an addiction. And I see that where children are on it for about 4 or 5 or 6 hours per day during the holidays, and it's really hard for the parents, after they've permitted them to go on these sites, to stop them. And it exposes them to, so their innocence can be taken away. But also, in relation to, you know, the use of the computer, there has to be monitoring there. The computer should be in a place where it can be seen and definitive times, you know, placed on it. Because things like Facebook and Twitter and all these things, I see it from personal experience from my own children and from my nieces and nephews, that they can be addicted to it. And it's a big time waster and a big distraction. Yeah, so...
Okay, thank you so much. But, you know, maybe this is applicable to children, that we can tell them this is limited time and we can, you know, supervise them in a way and putting the computer somewhere. But for the elder youth who are living by themselves and nobody can supervise them, I think still there is a problem, right? Go ahead.
Remember that this can be your last day. So
yeah. Spiritually, if you put this day as maybe the last day of your life, this will make you anxious and will not let you go into problems. Yes, Habibi, Mina.
Yeah. One of the things is, according to the Facebook limitations, maybe limited because of the time to study for the kids, and also when it comes, like the days we're coming in Passion Week, we might say to them, it's time to contemplate with God, just keep it off, because
yeah,
in between,
you know,
the two buses...
it's easy to look at this thing than contemplation and prayer. So for the, you know, those who are starting their spiritual life, they prefer to play or to see things than doing spiritual actions, you know.
Yeah, but
I understand, your point is positive, but you know, for certain level,
yeah,
good ones.
Yeah,
again, do not focus on the kids, by the way. I think most of you are not kids anymore, so... just think of ourselves.
Yeah, that's what I used
to. You should put the limitations yourself. And this is the question of Abuna. How can I put these limits to myself? I will not wait for others to put the limits. No, it's my problem. Go ahead, Habib.
I think also, Abuna, it's the responsibility of that person and his friends to always tell a particular his confession father or his friends, I have this problem. And it may not just be the sites, it could be the other things that he does, where he goes,
yeah,
he or she. And so they should always say, Tamanale, give me a call, this and that. So his servants or his friends or his confession father's always sending him a text, hi,
yeah,
how you going?
It's a good point. When you make yourself accountable, when you put somebody to help you, like a spiritual friend or better, a spiritual father, and this kind of follow-up may help you more and more, because you know, as she said, it's kind of addiction, and in addiction usually we need somebody to help. We cannot get out of it by ourselves usually. There is another opinion here.
Buna, sometimes in this case, would it not be better to kind of busy yourself so that you don't have that much time to actually spend on the internet itself, So, like, even like to write up a list of things that you have to do, or have books there, or I don't know, just have other things that you need to do, as opposed to leaving yourself.
Let's put it this way: just make yourself busy in many other things which you may like, and it's more beneficial, you know. For the busy people, this problem is not that strong. Go ahead, Habib.
Abuna, I think it's only achieved through prayer, because we can't do it on our own.
Thank you, Habib. Yes, it's a good point that we need to pray, please God, help me to stop this. Please, I need your power to stop me from these bad things.
I was just about to say the same thing. The only problem is a lot of people don't realize that it's a way of life. It happens slowly. So it starts off that it's only a casual thing, but then it becomes... bit by bit, you don't realize that that is your world. I can see it from my own children. Mm. Like, if you take a computer off them or the mobile, it's their life.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you to my, you know, 23-year-old son now, you know, stop that. It's a decision that they have to decide. I need to change my life.
Thank you.
I think it needs the work of the Holy Spirit. It's, you know, it has to come from the person and the work of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. Right. Yes. One should take a decision with himself, asking God to help. Abuna, want to comment, please?
Abuna, I think you mentioned two very important points in your speech. You mentioned the Jesus prayer.
Yeah.
And also you mentioned the importance of confession.
Yeah.
So the Jesus prayer, Abuna, I think if the minute... the desire to look for something on internet today, it doesn't happen straight away. It happens with a thought. It's like when a fly comes and sits on your forehead. What are you going to do automatically? You're going to shoo it away. So when we say spiritually, my Lord Jesus Christ, as you taught us, Abuna, my Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon me for I have sinned against you. Mm. By repeating that, the thought will go away 5, 10, 20, 30 times until the thought may go away. Rabbina can see your efforts. I think Rabbina is very just and very merciful. Mm. When he sees you make that effort, he will come and send many blessings, many angels to remove these thoughts away from you. So just the trying to struggle or making an effort by saying this prayer is a great one, because you're trying to overcome it with the grace of God.
Thank you, Buna. Yes. Any more advices in this problem? This nice man here.
I just think with technology now, there's so many advantages. For example, having the iPhone is a chance to have a Bible in your pocket.
Yeah.
So I think by introducing the good of technology and teaching our kids that this is a good way to have the Katamaros or have the Bible, or iCoptic, or you know, you can carry around Tazbehar on your iPad. I mean, the more we encourage that and the more they have it handy, and maybe you tell your kids, or, you know, make a promise to yourself and say, if I'm going to spend an hour on Facebook, I have to spend an hour on good technology.
Thank you. It's a good advice. Yes. Yes, Shahir.
Being on these sites, not just necessarily these sites, it could be Facebook or anything at all that we waste our time on, is a symptom of the void that we have in our lives. So if our life is about something else, if we actually are serving, or if we have some kind of higher goal or higher higher desires than just the desires of the body, that would really take our mind and the whole need to be filling that constant void with lots of useless stuff.
You know, I made a book called The Service is the Solution, and nowadays we are translating it into English. And it's just few stories about major problems in life and how could the service, church service, solve all these problems. And one of these major problems are this kind of addiction, or kinds of addiction, could be solved in a way by engaging yourself in major mission, in service. And when you find a meaning in your life and you have a mission to do, sometimes it helps you to get out of this problem. Yes, Habibi.
I heard on scientifically that the desire for food is stronger than the desire of lust. So if the one can say no to food, like to fast, yeah, he will be able to say no to other things like this.
Actually, we cannot say no for food. Still have another problem to be discussed. But yes, agreed, Habib. Yes, our church taught us in try to fast with the church fasting, because by doing this, your will be strong and you can stop your many negatives being a good one in fasting. Go ahead. Dr. Samir.
As your Grace has mentioned that this chap who came in confession, he put the icon, so he stopped. Anyway, I read the book about Bishop Riley. He's an 1800 English bishop, and he says that he asked a question, when is the best time to kill a cobra snake? So his answer was, when it is in as an egg. When it is an egg, you can kill it. So if we remember, whenever this is a sin to go to these sites, and therefore, if we put the cobra in our head that it may come out and kill us, then we will stop watching these things.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank you. It's a good one. Any other comments on this? Okay, in order to stick to the program.